Yeah. A lot of people out of town. And yeah. All right, so it's time for us to begin. And I want you to know that after Sunday, I'm thrilled you're back. After hearing me for 15 minutes, I'll maybe they ain't come back hear me Wednesday night. But let's begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll start in Numbers 27. Dear Lord and Almighty Heavenly Father, we bow our heads and give thanks to you for this world you created. We give thanks for the beauty in it and the stars at night that we see. We pray that we never cease to be in awe of you. We give thanks for the nice building we meet in tonight, the comfort that we sit here with the air conditioning. We give thanks for our health that we receive, that we're able to be here. We pray for those, many of our number that are traveling tonight. Pray that you'll be with them. They'll have safe trips back. We give thanks for all of our blessings. We pray we never take them for granted. It's something I know I struggle with, taking my blessings for granted. And I hope you'll forgive us when we do that. We give thanks for this next time we have to dig into your word and study a portion of your word. We pray that we will look at the text and look for ways to improve our service to you. We pray that we'll look for ways to improve our assistance and strength to one another. We pray that we'll help it improve our lives so we'll be a brighter light to the community. We give thanks for all these things, but most of all for that hope of a home in heaven. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so tonight, if you would, turn to Numbers 27. We're going to start there. And let's start by reading the first five verses. Then the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hephner, the son of Gilead, the son of Marker, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, came near. And these are the names of the daughters: Mahlah, Noah, Haglah, Milcah, and Tezrah. They stood near Moses, before Eleazar, the priest, and before the leaders of all the congregation, at the doorway of the tent meeting, saying, "Our father died in the wilderness, yet he was not among the company of those who gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but he died in his own sins, and he had no sons. Why should the name of our father be withdrawn from among our family because he had no sons? Give us a possession among our father's brothers." So Moses brought their case before the Lord. So here we have five daughters, and their fathers passed away. And I want you to think for a minute what they did. They stood at the gate in front of Moses and Eleazar, and in front of everybody, they showed they had faith in God because God has promised them this land. And they showed by their questions that they knew they were going to go in that land. So by their actions, it was evident they believed God. Ask yourself for a minute, when people see my actions, is it evident that I believe in God? Because they didn't want their father's name to be wiped out. They didn't want them not to receive an inheritance when they went into the land God had promised. God has promised us a land. We have heaven waiting for us. Do you live your life that way each day? Do people look at you and go, "There's somebody who believes in God. They trusted in the Lord." And we see that these five ladies trusted in the Lord. Any comments on them asking Moses and bringing this to Moses? So, And you're right. And for that society, females wouldn't receive an inheritance from their father. Although other societies around them had started to do that, they haven't yet. And it's a great point that just because society decides to do something one way, we don't do it that way. We need to follow God's will. And they needed to follow God's will. Bobby, did you start to say something? Absolutely. When we have something that's on our mind and on our heart, we need to turn to God. And you're absolutely right there. They sought the Lord's help. Not only did they seek the Lord's help, Moses sought the Lord's help. Moses took this to God and asked God. It's so very important to remember that we don't have the answers to everything. It's so very important to lean upon each other and lean upon people you can have faith in and bring these things to God in prayer. They weren't ashamed to go to Moses. Moses wasn't ashamed to go to God. And let's close this up, many of the societies around there had started letting daughters inherit from fathers. They had not, but indeed the Lord said this was right. Let's continue reading. So Moses brought their case before the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "The daughters of Zephelod are right in their statements. You shall surely give them a hereditary possession among the father's brothers, and you shall transfer the inheritance of their father to them. And further, you shall speak to the sons of Israel, saying, if a man dies and has no son, then you shall transfer his inheritance to his daughters. If he has no daughter, then you shall give his inheritance to his brother. If he has no brothers, then you shall give his inheritance to his father's brothers. If his father has no brothers, then you shall give his inheritance to the nearest relative in his own family, and he shall possess it, and it shall be a statutory ordinance to the sons of Israel, just as the Lord commanded Moses." What we see here, in great sense, is God caring for his people. And think about how we read in the last part of that verse there, shall be a statutory ordinance. So, if somebody had passed away, now they knew exactly how the inheritance was supposed to go. This probably cleared up a lot of confusion and a lot of strife that may have happened in the future. We see God taking care of not only those daughters, but people who come across the same situation in the future. So, just for a second, backing up, God said this was a statutory ordinance now. The countries around them had allowed inheritance to their daughters. But until then, Zephelah's daughters could not have received their inheritance. Is it right for us to let the world decide what we do in our daily lives? I mean, we can't let the world dictate our thoughts. We can't let the world dictate how we want to follow God. We have to look at God's Word. God handing down this statutory ordinance would have ensured justice for a lot of people going forward. when it comes time for people pass away to decide who was receiving what. Now we have it specifically stated out there. It's not much different today if somebody dies without a will. It can get really confusing on who gets what. And Georgia has a statute that says it goes to this person, it goes to this person, it goes to this person. So the women recognized the need beyond themselves they couldn't answer. They went to Moses, and Moses went to God. We need to take that away. When we have to make a decision and we're not sure about it, we need to reach out to people that might have a better understanding of the situation we're in or might can give us advice. They brought their needs to a godly man. They go to Moses. When you're dealing with things in life and you don't know how to handle them, look to your brother. You know, ask them to pray for you. Lean upon them. We are stronger together. Sometimes you state the obvious, and it's just the obvious, but thirdly, we need to make sure we're praying about those things. When we have those decisions we're facing, maybe like similar that we don't know what to do. They had to go ask Moses for help. Sometimes there's something I don't know what to do. I need to make sure I'm praying about that. One thing we don't know, the text doesn't tell us how long they waited for the answer to come from Moses to God. Sometimes when we're in those situations, when we're asking people for things and we're asking people to pray for us, these ladies probably had an exercise in patience here. We don't know what the time frame was. But sometimes we're just going to have patience. And that's a hard one to remember when you're dealing with things you're not sure what to do with. If you lean upon your brethren, you prayed about it, and you're waiting for an answer. But just remember that it's in His time, not ours. Any comments on the five daughters? And you're right, when folks pass away, it's really stressful. And sadly, that's when we see the worst behavior in a lot of people. All right, so let's read. Yeah, there was I make fun of myself a little bit, but we all should appreciate one another more than we do. We all should, and you're right, God said they deserve that. You know, they weren't secondary citizens. They deserve that. And we all should appreciate one another so much. I would have told you a month ago, I appreciated Kelly. I can tell you for certain now, I appreciate her more. You know, we learn lessons hard way sometimes. Yeah, truly, God does love us all. And we see that in a statement that is in the next text I think I'm fixing to read. Let's start in 12. Oh, no, I believe that's verse 19 or so. I'm going to come back to that again. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go up to this mountain of Abram and see the land which I have given the sons of Israel. When you see it, you too will be gathered with your people as Aaron your brother was. For in the wilderness of Zin, during the strife of the congregation, you rebelled against my commandment to treat me. You rebelled against my commandment to treat me as holy before the eyes of the water. These are the waters of Meribah, of Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. Let's go ahead and finish the chapter. Then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, "May the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who will go out and come in before them, who will lead them out and bring them in, so that the congregation of the Lord will not be like sheep without no shepherd." So the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hands on him, and have him stand before Eleazar, the priest, and before the congregation, and commission him in their sight. You shall put some of your authority on him, in order that all the congregation of the sons of Israel may obey him. Moreover, he shall stand before Eleazar the priest. You shall inquire for him by the judgment of the Urim before the Lord. And his commandment shall go out, and his command they shall come in, both he and the sons of Israel with him, even all the congregation." So Moses did just as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and all the congregation, and they laid his hands on him and commissioned him, just as the Lord spoke through Moses. So, pulling out some words there that are kind of repeated. Then the Lord said to Moses. Moses said to the Lord. So the Lord said to Moses. Moses did as the Lord commanded. And he commissioned him as the Lord instructed. Nothing is more important in leadership than walking with God. It may be leadership here at Eastside. It may be leadership with your family at home. You may have a leadership position at work, or it may be leadership position over little children. But let's make sure that's always our top priority. Listening to God, petitioning to God, and following His Word. So, Sunday. Go ahead, Bobby. Yes, sir. Yeah, absolutely. And think about that for a minute, who Moses was. A man of God, no doubt. But he didn't get preferential treatment for that. He made that mistake and he paid for it. This line in 13 you mentioned, "When you see it too, you will be gathered with your people as Aaron your brother was." Now, most of heaven we learn about the New Testament. It's like veiled. And we see it here that Moses is going to be with his people. He mentions Aaron. We get that slight glimpse of heaven that we're going to be there with our people. You know, think about that for a minute. That shared heritage, that anticipated future of being gathered back with those people. What appeared to be clearly recognizable individuals, because he said, "You're going to be with your brother Aaron." We know Moses is on the Mount of Transfiguration later. So that promised land that we're working for, We get a slight glimpse of it right there when he tells Moses, you're going to be gathered with your people. That, Bobby, what you mentioned? Go ahead. It did keep him out of the promised land. You're right there. I'm always real careful not to tell people what will keep them in and out of heaven. Specifically, we know following God gets us into heaven, denying Him gets us out. But I never want to put myself in a position where I'm telling people that I can make this decision. You're going to go to hell if you do that. I don't want to put my position, I don't want to sit where God sits. On the day of judgment, I hope mercy and grace, this is me personally, I hope mercy and grace is handed out more abundantly than I could ever dream of. I don't know how much mercy and grace is going to be handled out. But yes, you're right. And this should serve as a warning for everybody. Moses made this mistake and he didn't get in the promised land. So for the rest of their time, they need to realize that he was a man of God and he didn't get to get in the promised land. Our too, we need to realize we need to walk that straight and narrow. We can think all these things and say all these things, but if we're not walking that straight and narrow and doing God's will, our soul is in jeopardy. And you're spot on there. Another thing, we can't preach one thing and do one thing. You know, if you're at work or you're at school or you're at a family reunion or wherever and you're telling people this is how it's supposed to be and that's really not how you're behaving, that's not any good either. You know, we got to make sure we're doing exactly what we say, or at least striving our best to do it. I know we're going to fall short. Any comments? What was that, Mary? I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah, and we do have to be super careful, and you're right. And I'm going to pick on Kelly because it's the only one I can get away with. How easy is it for me to see what she does wrong? I'm like, Kelly, you should have done that. But really, how easy is it for me to see what I've done wrong? You know, that's really who I need to be taken care of. I'm the only person that I can control my behavior. I can control anybody else's behavior. So you're spot on. And people are going to see us. I say that because you say, like talking about how we act, I might not see my speck in my eye. It might look like a plank to them. I have to watch what we're doing, watch how we're acting, and realize that instead of me looking at Kelly all the time, pointing at her faults, I need to be working on mine.
He doesn't go right on in and say, okay, I want you to go get Joshua. He waits until Moses asks him for knowing. It's like he's not Michael.
Absolutely. I love that word. And Moses does show compassion for the people when he asked for a leader. You know, we read that he asked for to point them so they wouldn't be like a sheep without a shepherd.
heartache and trouble that the people saw. And he still loves them, that's what he told me. And that, and he's concerned about still.
And then a fantastic example. I mean, sometimes I think maybe, y'all have heard me say that the dumbest reason not to go to heaven is because you can't forgive somebody. Jesus tells us if we can't forgive them, he's not going to forgive us. And you're right. That's a fantastic example. They give him such a hard time. And when he knows the end is near, what is he worried about? He's worried about them. He wants a strong leader and a leader that will be loving also, because like a sheep without a shepherd, it's a caring leader. Moses asked him in verse 15, it says, may the Lord God, the Spirit of all flesh, and that's what we were talking about earlier, God loving all of us. You know, the women received their inheritance, he loved them too. And the term there, the God of all flesh, Jew, Gentile, whether we're American, Asian, African, European, he is the God of all mankind. Now God doesn't provide, and he does tell him to go get Joshua. Joshua's been an able assistant, military commander, reliable colleague. He's witnessed much these last 40 years. And God tells him to go get him before Eleazar and lay his hands on him and to give some of his power away. Let Joshua have some of the authority. I'm not sure that's the easiest thing to do when you're in charge, when you have the power to willingly to give that up. Clearly, Moses has been a stellar example to us, and I think he's a fine example there because he does give that power up. So, but all day we need to trust in. You're spot on. Y'all generally see me stand right here with my hearing aids. I've been bouncing around a little. We've mentioned this twice. It's in here again. I'll make sure. Because it's a warning to us. Moses didn't enter the promised land because he sinned. We need to make sure that I don't think I get special favors because I'm Michael, you're Les, or you're Matthew. We have to follow God's word. We're all held to that standard. It's so easy for us sometimes, I think, to not look at my own shortcoming. Make sure we're always doing that because nothing is more important and making sure we're doing everything we can to follow the Lord. Sunday, I had about 30 minutes prepared, and then it ended up, I had 15. I want to apologize for that because I was trying to decide. I got 30 minutes worth of material, 15 minutes, really 12. I should have just picked one thing. And we talked about one topic. Instead, I tried to kind of get through the whole thing. So if you were here Sunday, I apologize for that. But when we got to the clock and after our break, we had 15 minutes. I realized that wasn't going to work. Any questions or comments on Numbers 27? I think some of the big takeaways in my mind are seek help when you have questions. You know, that's what those daughters did. God is compassionate. Pray. Wait for the answer. Moses, such a fine example, was told he was going to be gathered to his people. And Sunday, when we talked about eternal life, life is more than our years on this earth. And Moses is going to be gathered with his people, and like Aaron. That should get you excited. I said that Sunday. I think when we hear the words eternal life, and we think if we do our sincere best to follow the Lord, that is our reward waiting on us, that should get us pumped up. And when we see Moses there, going to be gathered with his people, that should be encouraging. That one day that might could be us gathered with our people. And when God, not to misquote it, well, God knows all the spirits of the flesh, He was compassionate that He picked the right person for them. He picked Joshua. And Moses, in the end, doing just as the Lord had spoken to him. I told a young lady at work today that we were talking about Numbers 27. Numbers, it doesn't really get people excited. And she went, ooh. I'm like, no, this is a really good chapter. There's some really good stuff here. So, do you have anything else to add to that before we're dismissed? No, such a great warning and lesson there. I can stumble, I can fall, I can get the Lord to forgive me. The state of Georgia is a little more hard-nosed. You know, they might send me to jail for 2 years. That doesn't mean I can't be forgiven, but there are consequences of sin that we may have to deal with when we fall short. So I think we're going to end about 10 minutes early. Any more comments before we finish tonight? Thank you for putting that with me Sunday and tonight, and Philip will be back on Sunday.